Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. We hope the start of the day is treating you good for this May 1st, 2023, 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa and Beth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a great one out there, everybody. We're going to be joined by our good friend Bill Heck in just a little bit. He's going to join us with our monthly veterans update. Looking forward to that. Of course, we'll also have a little bit of entertainment news a little later. We're going to also get into some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. But it is Monday. It's 9 o'clock hour. You know what time it is.
Tell me something good.
That's right. We are going to open our Kitchen Open segment by thanking our sponsor. The Kitchens Open is sponsored by Chatterbox Catering, a full-service catering company equipped for all your catering needs.
Spring has sprung. The grass is green, the birds are singing, the snow piles are mostly gone. Now is the time to think about booking a caterer for your summer parties. Kathy's homemade sauces and menu items are delicious, and they're even better enjoyed outdoors. You can take the stress off your party planning by calling Kathy.
That's right. Kathy will help you plan the perfect menu for your graduation parties, weddings, family reunions, or whatever party you're planning. Just call Kathy at 715-712-3393, and we'll tell you that number again at the end of the segment.
Mm-hmm.
So to continue with the spring theme we have going on here, no matter what Mother Nature's throwing at us, we're going to talk about another one of my favorite spring foods, rhubarb.
I love rhubarb.
I think you mean room rhubarbarum.
Yes, James. That is the scientific name for rhubarb. Later, we'll get into the history of where that name comes from. But first, let's talk about the plant itself.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's fun to say rhubarbarum. Rhubarbarum. It's fun. It's fun. Say it with me. Rhubarbarum.
Okay. You're just glad I didn't throw R. exhibrium or R. exculturum at you this week. Mm-hmm. Oh, even more fun is the European name for rhubarb. R. rapunticum.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And thank you for that, Mel. That is part of the reason why you're my favorite. Do not tell Seth. Don't tell Seth.
Too late. Seth has already heard it.
Yeah, probably.
Now, let's get back to the important stuff here, okay? Rhubarb. It's a herbaceous perennial and a member of the buckwheat family. Rhubarb grows 2 to 4 feet tall and has large, smooth, heart-shaped leaves. It has thick, succulent red or green leaf stalks that grow up to 18 inches long and are about 1 to 2 inches in diameter. This is an edible part of the plant and sour enough to set your teeth on edge. The leaf itself can get up to a foot or more in width, but don't eat it. The leaves are poisonous.
Yes. Good note, Beth. Rhubarb is very easy to grow, and being perennial, it comes back every year in the same spot. The plant's like rich, well-drained soil with full sun. And if you take good care of your plants, rhubarb will keep coming back in the same spot for up to 20 years.
Wow.
So we'll get more into how to care for your rhubarb later into the segment. First, let's dive into the history of this ancient and fascinating plant.
Oh, and it is ancient. According to the Wisconsin Horticultural Division of Extension of UW, the Chinese used rhubarbarum as a medical herb nearly 5,000 years ago.
Wow.
They only use the roots, though, as Beth was saying. The leaves are poisonous. According to NationalGeographic.com, the leaves contain the compound oxalic. This binds to calcium ions in blood and yanks them out of the circulum. It removes enough essential calcium from the blood, and it can be lethal. In lesser amounts, it can end up in the kidneys as kidney stones. You get to give me that line. You would have to eat several pounds of rhubarb leaves in one sitting for it to actually kill you, though.
Well, that's reassuring that it needs to be that much. But rhubarb is native to southern Siberia and prefers to grow in cold climates. The roots can survive in frozen grounds of Mongolia and the Himalayas, which is why they grow so well here in Wisconsin.
That's right. According to the website kitchenproject.com, most experts conclude that the rhubarb, the word, comes from a French word, rhubarb, that came from the Middle Latin word rhubarbarum, or from the Greek rhubarbaron. Ra, or actually, they don't say it that way, but it's spelled R-H-A, was the name the Scythians, who lived almost 3,000 years ago around the Ukraine, used for what is now the Volga River.
The Chinese used rhubarb roots to cure stomach ailments, relieve severe constipation, and as a poultice for fevers and swelling. While it acts like a natural laxative, the tannins in rhubarb also provide anti-diarrheal effects.
It became an important and valued medicine in medieval Europe. Rhubarb was important from Asia via the Silk Road and was several times the price of other valuable herbs and spices such as cinnamon, opium, and saffron.
Wow.
So because of the demand for rhubarb and the high price of importing it, efforts were made to cultivate it on European soil in the mid-17th century. It wasn't until the 1800s and sugar becoming more available that eating rhubarb stalks started to catch on.
Sugar made all the difference. It seems to have arrived in the United States in the early 1800s as a food, though John Bartram was growing medicinal rhubarb in Philadelphia as early as the 1730s.
Now for a little fun trivia. Rhubarb is technically a vegetable.
Oh.
But a New York court ruled it a fruit in 1947 because it's most often eaten in desserts. Just like labeling tomatoes as vegetables because they're eaten with savory foods, rhubarb was called a fruit because of how it was eaten.
Okay.
This did also make it cheaper to import with a 35% duty tariff as opposed to a 50% duty on vegetables. So the importers won the day. It didn't last, though. Rhubarb is now considered a vegetable on the tariff schedule of the United States.
Mm-hmm. And here's another interesting little bit of trivia. A discovery that increased the popularity of eating the plant during the 1840s in Europe was called forced rhubarb. There's a 9 square mile in England called the Yorkshire Rhubarb Triangle, and it's famous for growing early forced rhubarb. The plants are grown in total darkness. This causes the stalks to grow faster than usual, and they don't grow giant leaves. This causes the sweet glucose that would normally be in the leaves to remain stored in the stalks. The resulting rhubarb is sweeter instead of the sour flavor we're all familiar with, because they never see the sun, and I mean never. The stalks are a beautiful glowing pink color, and the plants grow so fast you can hear them.
Wow.
They pop and crack as they're stretching, desperate to find the sunlight. Farmers even harvest them in candlelight because even shining a flashlight on them can break the forcing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, right? It's not very common here in the United States, but some people do it. You can just put a large bucket or container over a plant in early spring, block any holes or gaps, and place a layer of straw around the outside of the pot to insulate it. Then you let it grow for 8 weeks before harvesting, so you never even take the lid off. Unless it's nighttime and you have a candle.
Okay.
I'm kind of tempted to try it.
Yeah, it would be interesting to compare the difference of how that would taste.
Yeah. Well, like we said earlier, rhubarb is easy to grow, but there are ways you can improve your harvest and encourage more growth from season to season. They like fertilizer high in nitrogen early in the spring before they start to come up, and then again in the fall. And here's an important note I didn't know. When you harvest them, don't cut the stalk. You want to grasp it near the base and give it a slight twist as you pull. This will detach it from the root system underground, and it lets the plant know to produce another stalk.
Wow. Yeah, if you cut off the stalk, the rest will just sit there and decompose. It would cause the root of the plant to become infected. You want to leave at least 2 stalks when you do harvest, though. Once the stalk becomes thin, it's time to stop harvesting. This means your rhubarb is tired and it needs rest.
Ah, great time for sports trivia, as I'm going to jump in with Playmakers now.
Wait. This is the cooking show, not Playmakers.
Yeah.
Oh, but I know, but Mel, rhubarb has a sports tie-in.
No way.
Yes way. Hear me out. Okay. Baseball players in the mid-1900s used the word rhubarb to describe a fight between players. Here is the history. I think a lot of us sports fans knew this, but did not know the story behind it. According to Sports Illustrated, in 1938, a Brooklyn Dodgers fan shot and killed a New York Giants fan in a bar fight because of a recent game between the two teams. When a baseball writer named Tom Meaney asked the bartender to describe what happened, he called the fight a rhubarb. No one quite knew why, but it caught on, particularly in New York baseball circles. Dodgers radio broadcaster Red Barber liked the word so much he began to use it when he did play-by-play for the for Brooklyn. He had a huge following, so the use of the word rhubarb to describe a fight between players grew in popularity. In 1951, the word even became the movie title for a screwball comedy about a pet cat named Rhubarb, who had been willed ownership of a baseball team.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's the rhubarb.
All right.
But it was also used in the silent film industry.
Yes.
Wait, what?
Yeah. You've heard, as a choir student maybe, if you use mouth the word watermelon when you forget the words to a song, no one can tell the difference, right?
Yeah.
In an article in the West Central Tribune, they say in the 1930s film and theater industries, actors were told to just say the word rhubarb over and over and over and over, and it looked like they were having a real conversation in the background of the scene.
Okay.
They still do this, too, by the way. It's still every movie set, every TV show I've ever been on, the extras, that's what they tell them to do. Say rhubarb in the back. Rhubarb.
Okay. Huh. Well, there you go.
That's really neat. Okay. Enough trivia. Let's get down to brass tacks. Yes,
yes, okay, all right.
The health benefits of rhubarb.
But there are a lot of them. Rhubarb is an excellent source of vitamin K, which is essential for bone health and blood clotting. It also has vitamin A and is high in antioxidants.
The antioxidants in the rhubarb have antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, and anti-cancer properties, which help protect you from many health-related issues such as heart disease, cancer, and diabetes.
It's also a great source of fiber, and as we mentioned earlier, it's really good for your digestive tract. Rhubarb contains senosides, which act as a natural laxative. And Beth, like you said earlier, the tannins in rhubarb provide anti-diarrheal effects. Mm-hmm.
Rhubarb also contains vitamin C, calcium, potassium, folate, magnesine, and magnesium.
It sounds like a superfood.
Except for the leaves. Do not eat those.
Yes, that's right. Don't eat those.
Now, let's talk about the best part, eating rhubarb.
Yes.
The American nickname for rhubarb is pie plant. And as my husband Seth would tell you, rhubarb pie is wonderful. It's especially great when it's paired with strawberry.
Oh, yes. My favorite way to combine rhubarb and strawberries is my mom's fruit dumpling recipe.
Whoa. Mel, I'm not sure you can say fruit dumplings on the air. I'm not sure.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
They're delicious. Great.
All you do is take 4 cups of cut up rhubarb, 4 cups of strawberries, 1.5 cups of water, and 1 cup of sugar. Bring this to a boil in a large kettle and simmer it for 5 minutes. Then you want to thicken it with 1/4 cup of cornstarch mixed with 1/2 cup of water. And now for the dumplings, you mix up 1 cup of flour, 1.5 teaspoons baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon salt, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla, 1/4 cup of sugar, a lot of sugar in this recipe, and 2 tablespoons of butter, and 1/2 cup of milk. You stir this until they're just moistened, and then drop by the spoonful into the rhubarb sauce. So you just scatter them across the top.
Okay.
Then you simmer it for 10 minutes with the cover off, and then put the cover on for the last 10 minutes, and don't peek. It's very important.
Okay.
The result is fluffy dumplings with a delicious fruit sauce. You scoop out the dumplings and dump the sauce over top of the dumplings, and then my mom liked to serve it warm with ice cream.
Oh. Okay, real quick, time out here and everything. This is not scripted. Nobody has ever made rhubarb sound more attractive to me than you two. I am all in on this. I would definitely try that.
I want some now.
Yeah, right.
Well, another great way to enter with the rhubarb season is to transition it with a rhubarb crunch, which is a kind of a bar. So you mix together 2 cups brown sugar, 2 cups flour, 1.5 cup quick oats, 2 teaspoons of cinnamon, and 1 cup of melted butter. You press 1/2 of that into a greased 9x13 pan. Then you put in 5 cups of rhubarb, which has been diced, on top. Then cook 1.5 cups sugar, 2 tablespoons of cornstarch, 1 cup water until it's clear, and add about 1 teaspoon of vanilla. Then you pour this mixture over the rhubarb. Sprinkle that the other half of that crumbly mixture that you made before over the top and pat down lightly. Then you just bake it in a 350-degree oven for about 45 to 55 minutes.
That sounds delicious.
Mm-hmm.
My mom also made a rhubarb tort a lot in the summer. It's a basic tort crust pressed into the bottom of a 9x13 pan, and then you put 4 cups of rhubarb over top of that. Mix 4 tablespoons of flour with 3 eggs and 1.5 cups of sugar. Then you beat that until it's fluffy and pour it over the rhubarb. Mm. Next, you bake it for 45 minutes at 350 degrees. And then you make a meringue. Well, that's baking.
Okay.
So that's just your basic meringue, egg whites, sugar, vanilla, and vinegar. Beat it until they come to a peak. And then you add that over the finished rhubarb. Bake that for an additional 15 minutes or until the peaks are slightly golden brown. It's so yummy. It's tart and sweet and just, it tastes like summer to me.
Yum. My great grandmother had this wonderful recipe for a custard pie that used either pitted sour cherries or rhubarb. Ooh. It was wonderful.
Fun.
You place a cup of the rhubarb into an unbaked 9-inch pie shell. And in a bowl, you mix together 2 eggs with a cup of sugar. You add in slowly 3/4 cups of milk. Then you pour that over the rhubarb and bake in a 350-degree oven for about an hour or so, or until the custard is just set. Mm. Or if you want to have just something fun to have, you could also make a rhubarb compote, which I've used as a top to a pudding pie, which was delicious. So in a medium saucepan, it's very easy. You combine 1 cup of water with 1/2 cup of sugar, and you place that over medium heat and stir constantly until all that sugar is dissolved. Then you add 4 cups of diagonally sliced rhubarb and 1 tablespoon of orange zest. You bring that liquid just to a boil, then you reduce the heat and simmer it for about 10 minutes or until the rhubarb is just tender. And then you can use that as a sauce over ice cream.
Oh, once I was going to say, it. That'd be good over ice cream.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with maybe a little bit of Cool Whip or whipped cream on top. So, yeah, it
sounds delicious.
Now,
my absolute favorite rhubarb recipe is my Grandma Ruth's rhubarb juice.
Mm.
This is such a simple recipe, and it reminds me of being a kid on the farm in summer. So you bring 4 cups of rhubarb and 1 pint of water to a boil. Have you noticed a reoccurring theme here with my mom and grandma? Uh-huh. 4 cups of rhubarb in every recipe.
Yeah.
So 4 cups of rhubarb and 1 pint of water to a boil. That's 2 cups.
Mm-hmm.
Then you strain that and add, so you want to strain out all of the rhubarb, the flesh, I guess,
okay,
is what my grandma would call it.
You were doing the action, too.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yep.
Oh, I love that.
So then you strain all of those fibers out and add in 1 tablespoon of orange juice, 1 tablespoon of strawberry or cherry Jell-O, and 3/4 cup of sugar. So the Jell-O is just like the powder.
Okay, yeah.
And then about 10 batches of that makes 2 gallons of juice.
Wow. Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah. It's delicious. It's tart and sweet, and it's just so good.
Very refreshing. I bet you could use that in a nice cocktail over the summer, too.
I saw recipes for like a rhubarb gin cocktail. That sounded kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working at the Toma Area School District, they did something in the spring called their Rhubarb Rendezvous.
Okay.
And one of the teachers there had just enormous patches of rhubarb at her house. So she would bring in coolerfuls of rhubarb that people could just, take what they wanted. And then everybody made a dish and brought it in. And we have like this potluck and everything was rhubarb themed.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So they'd put it in like everything. You could make it with obviously the desserts, but you can also make it with meat.
Yeah. Well, like it's sour enough. It has that, it could pair well with something savory.
Mm-hmm. One of the recipes that I was looking at earlier, so it pairs very well with oily fish, but my favorite way to have it was with as ribs. So like barbecued ribs, slow cooked in a crock pot all day with rhubarb. It was so delicious.
Oh, somebody say ribs.
Yeah. I bet it would make a great type of barbecue sauce. Adding a little bit of rhubarb juice to that would be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And rhubarb plants are so abundant. They just seem to keep growing and growing and multiplying. So it's always good to find new and unique recipes for them.
Well, we better wrap up this segment, but we want to send out a big thank you to Chatterbox Catering for sponsoring our Kitchen Open segment.
Mm-hmm. If you have catering needs, contact Kathy at Chatterbox, and she will create the perfect menu for your party. I wonder what her favorite rhubarb recipe might be.
I don't know, but it's sure to be delicious. Mm-hmm. Whatever your catering wants, contact Kathy at 715-712-3393 and let Chatterbox Catering cook up something good. Mm-hmm. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
We're already looking forward to another episode next Monday. Great job, you guys. That was really nice work. Good writing, Thanks. Too, Melissa. Yes. Appreciate all the work you put into that show and that segment. And a big thank you, of course, to Chatterbox Catering. We're going to take a break right here. We'll come back with our good friend Bill Heck and our monthly Veterans Update on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. And right now we're joined by our great friend, Bill Heck. He joins us every month with a monthly Veterans Update. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. You know, it's May the 1st, and I look out on the green grass looking for that white stuff.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
That ain't right. No. That shouldn't be.
Not at all.
Bill, we appreciate you joining us. And I wanted to, if you don't mind, rewind real quick. With you. You guys recently had a bus that left the VFW to head up to Madison. How did that go?
Well, it didn't fill the bus, but we still had a couple hundred vets there in the Capitol.
Good.
Got to meet with legislators and talk about a couple of bills that are important to the veterans.
That's good to hear. And next time we hope to fill that bus. That's what we'll do. We'll do our best to try to help you do that. And thank you for that. I appreciate the update. What else is going on? What's coming up?
Well, I got some upcoming events here I'll go through, and then I got some notes that'll go with them.
Great.
The next thing we got going is May the 10th at the Heroes Cafe over here at the Elks Club. We got Quilts of Valor.
Yeah. Oh.
14 veterans are going to get their quilt that day. So
very nice.
It's one of our favorite things to hear about is
twice
when this happens.
Yeah,
twice
that.
A year this goes on.
May and then again in November when Veterans Day rolls around.
Okay. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Material Girls are...
They're amazing. They're so amazing. A big shout out to them.
Yeah.
We had a meeting the other day at Midstate, and one of the Material Girls there come there, and she said she had the latest update, and it was like a little bit over 343,000 quilts have been given away.
Wow.
Quilts
That's amazing.
Oh, it is.
I'm speechless at that. I honestly don't even know what to say. That's beautiful. That's amazing.
228 went through the Heroes Gap.
Gosh, that's cool.
Great.
Man, is that cool? That's a good story of the day right there, Bill. Thank you for that.
Then May the 11th, we got our BVA meeting. We're going to have the swearing in of the new slate of officers. May 13th is our first brat fry at West Grand IGA.
Right.
So
very nice.
Hopefully it won't snow that day.
Yeah. Hopefully you won't have to hand out hot cocoa with those brats.
Right.
Yeah,
it is.
May 15th is the next honor flight.
Okay.
Here we go.
I'm going to give you a piece of paper here
with the
address for the mail call, and it says on the mail call, please do it 2 to 3 weeks before the flight.
Okay.
So if they're going to send mail call out, they're going to have to do it now.
Like today.
Because May the 15th is the next flight.
Okay.
And they can send it to either a specific veteran or honored veteran, and, it'll be given out on the way home.
Okay.
May 18th is a VFW meeting at 6 p.m. Highway cleanup has been canceled because we got something else going on that day, so we're going to wait till the fall to do that. May 20th, which is when our highway cleanup was scheduled, is a VFW Post 2534 anniversary ride.
Yeah.
That's registration begins at 11:30, the ride starts at 1:30. $25 per vehicle. There's going to be food available out there, and all the proceeds are going to go to the Wood County canine programs.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'll leave that poster with you.
This sounds like a great event,
yes.
Bill. Just taking a look at it right now and everything, there's a ton to do here. This is going to bring a lot of people together. I love these events that bring so many different sections of our community together for a cause that everybody in our community can get behind.
That's right.
That's really cool.
And hopefully, again, it won't snow.
Yes. Here's hoping. Yeah. I got to put snow tires on those bikes. Yeah.
Let's see. Then on May 24th, we got the Heroes Cafe again, and the CVSO rep will be there to explain something that's near and dear to all of us in our 70s and 80s, and that's burial benefits.
All right.
I get many questions on that, so the guy's going to come up there and take care of that. And then May 27th, we got placement of cemetery flags, and I'll have further info for you before
Looking
that
forward
happens.
To it, yeah. Yeah.
We'll get help from the Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts.
And we get that info, we'll get it out to the audience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. Completed orange blossom sheets are going to be available at all VVA meetings and also at the Heroes Cafe. Orange blossoms this year are going to be on June 2nd and 3rd. 3-hour shifts, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And we still need money counters and extra relief help.
Okay.
We got the sheets full. Everybody's signed up. But we like to keep a couple people back for, you know, in case somebody doesn't show or get sick. Or,
if people want to help out, if they want to volunteer with something like that, is there somewhere we can direct them?
I will give you that number. Dave Posey, the vice president, is in charge of that.
Okay.
I'll give you that number.
Sounds good.
Starting on 1 November this year, we have the showcase at McMillan Library for display of items honoring Chapter 101 of the VVA. We're going to start gathering items at the post. I will gather them. If somebody's got something they want to show, I'll go pick them up if they want me to pick them up. Mm-hmm. Showcases are locked, so nothing will be missing.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the auditorium for one day, and November 10th, the day before Veterans Day, is the day we have chosen. We're going to show the movie We Were Soldiers by Mel Gibson.
Mm. Okay.
We're going to show that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to have a panel of veterans there to answer questions that anybody might have after that movie.
I talked to the new head over at McMillan about this a little while ago, just off air. They weren't ready to start talking because you guys were still figuring out details of dates and stuff like that. But how important it is to her, to our community, to have things like this and to be able to take any opportunity, certainly around a holiday like that and everything. But really, there's no day we couldn't be hosting something like that, doing something like this, and bring attention to these subjects.
You know, I mean, even 50 years later, a lot of people still got a lot of questions about Vietnam.
Absolutely.
This movie, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, but it depicts the first time that American forces actually fought North Korean, or not North Korean, excuse me.
I know what
North
you're talking
about. North Vietnam soldiers. So, you know, and Mel Gibson does a wonderful job. I mean,
he's always been known as a good director, and with this piece, did a great job.
Two of the greatest patriotic movies ever made, The Patriot and then We Were Soldier. Mm-hmm. Here's an Australian making
it. It always seems to be that way, doesn't it? It's kind of funny. With this subject, with what there was happening on this date, we're going to bring more, as we get closer to November, bring more and more attention to this and make sure we fill up that auditorium. That we make sure that this is right.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We'd like to see all of Vietnam vets there, plus anybody in the public that's still. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's amazing 50 years later how much interest there still is. Brat Fries this year. VFW has it on the May 13th and June the 10th. The VVA has it on May 27th and June 24th. All Brat Fries will be at West Grand IGA. And we got a couple of rain dates there, July 8th and July 22nd.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. August 16th, Senior Center baseball game, Milwaukee versus the Minnesota Twins. Mm. I think there are tickets still available. Have to check with the Senior Center. Over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but do so. Be sure to check with them.
And then the only other thing I got for you is that the address for the veterans mail call on May the 15th. And that's it.
That's a lot. You brought us a lot, as you always do, Bill. Appreciate that. That email, that address for the Veterans Honor Flight, I have that right here, and I can get that to anybody that wants it. Just reach out to us.
Okay.
But just real quick, it's veteran's name, so you want to put that in right there, and then CO, Never Forgotten Honor Flight, 225780 Rib Mountain Drive, number 780 in Wausau, Wisconsin. You can also Google that. I've tested this before, and Google it, and it pops up for you.
And you can get you can go right to the Never Forgotten Honor Flight site and get the itinerary.
Yeah.
If you to find, you know, plus you can get the list of veterans that are on there. So you might know somebody on there.
But please do feel free to reach out to us here at the studio. If you need any of this information, we can get it back to you. All of our shows are podcasted now as well, so you can always go back, rewind, and re-listen to Bill's amazing voice and the good job that he does with this.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, Bill. Really do. Okay. Really appreciate you, sir. Obviously, your service to our country, but just hanging out and putting up with us and everything. Really appreciate that, too.
You know, I mean, this gets it out to the public, too. Yeah. You know, and we want to... It's just great to have this once a month.
We're looking forward to next month already. Don't be a stranger. We'll talk soon.
Hopefully it won't be no snow.
Yes, hopefully we'll have some nice weather and everything.
Your lips to God's ears, right?
Yes.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate you. We're going to get to Melissa's news now. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us. A big thank you to our friend Bill Heck for joining us. That was fantastic. Thank you to Bill. Wonderful update from Bill. Greatly appreciate him doing that. I also want to say a big shout out to our listener, Diane.
Yes.
We've mentioned Diane a number of times. Diane is a fantastic baker. She, of course, has made us stuff many times in the past, and she just did again. I walk into the studio this morning, and what's in the break room but Diane's cookies?
Yes.
You guys better save me some for tomorrow.
Definitely going to, Melissa.
You got to get here soon, because I didn't have breakfast before I got here, and several of them are gone now.
I actually put a couple aside for you, Mel, just in case.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Diane.
Yeah, thank you so much. Diane, we greatly appreciate you.
I'm caught between that thank you and curse you. Thank you and curse you.
When I say we have the best listeners in radio, this is what I'm talking about, people. Like, I'm not just throwing that out there to make people feel nice. I can back that up. I've got scientific evidence. I can back
it up.
And cookies.
And cookies. Delicious cookies.
Have some entertainment news I want to touch on real quick. A new documentary called Still, a Michael J. Fox movie, is coming out on Apple TV Plus on May 12th, where he shares his struggles and triumphs. Michael just did an interview with CBS Sunday Morning to hype it, and he shared a stark reality. He said, quote, "I'm not going to lie, it's getting harder. Every day gets tougher, but that's the way it is. I've been thinking of mortality of it. I'm not going to 80. He said that you don't die from Parkinson's, you die with Parkinson's. There are subtle ways to it gets you. Falling is one of the main dangers, and all the injuries that you can get from being unable to control movements and balance. There's also pneumonia and aspiring food as you're trying to eat. Michael has already suffered numerous broken bones, and he has trouble getting around after having a benign tumor removed from his spine.
Oh, wow.
But he shared this awesome, uplifting bit of wisdom. Quote, "With gratitude, optimism is subtle. If you can find something to be grateful for, then you can find something to look forward to, and you can carry on." It's a really, really good line. I'm not going to lie. I watched that Sunday Morning interview because I grew up loving Michael J. Fox. He was one of those first big names that I end up like, ooh, I like this guy. What's he up to? What's his family ties? This seems fun. Mm-hmm. I like this. Why do I like this Alex Keaton, even though I don't agree with anything he's saying? What is it about him? I think that it actually, as a young age, Michael J. Fox is the one that I learned what charm is and what charisma is from, because I couldn't understand why I liked his character.
I didn't like anything about him.
But I liked his character, but I liked him and everything. I looked forward when he was in a scene. That early show, you could see right from that, like, this kid's a star. Mm-hmm. All those cast members were good. He was great. Mm-hmm. He was amazing. He was so natural and so comfortable in front of the public, in front of the eye. Mm-hmm. He's had so many great movies that we all grew up on. I will always come back to The Frighteners as my favorite Michael J. Fox movie. Oh. If you've never seen it, I encourage you to check it out.
Back to the Future, all the way for me.
Yeah, it's a classic. You can't go wrong with Back to
Teen
the Future.
Wolf.
You can't go wrong. It's a nice one. I watched this interview, and I'm watching it, and I realize as I'm watching it, I'm taking my eyes away. I'm moving my eyes away from him. I'm not watching. I'm listening, but I'm not looking at him, and I realize what I'm doing. And I got to stop that. I got to watch him. I got to face this. He has to face it every day.
Yep.
Who am I to just look away for 5 minutes during an interview? He is doing something that I don't think we call brave enough, but it's brave.
Yeah.
It's not easy when you've spent your whole life about it. Your whole life is about image and about how you look and looking young and looking, handsome and all these things and stuff. It's what your whole career has been tied to. Mm-hmm. And the only reason anybody knows your name is because of your talent and your looks. Mm-hmm. And here's this disease that comes by and decides, I'm going to take those things from you. And I'm going to make you live in shame. I'm going to make you want to hide in a corner and everything. And that's what it does. That's what a lot of people deal with Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. I've had many people in my life that have struggled with this. And they pull away from family. They pull away from friends. What mm-hmm. he is doing is the opposite. He's mm-hmm. trying to bring a face. He's trying to be the face of Parkinson's in many ways. And mm-hmm. imagine that.
Yeah.
That's not... None of us can understand what that's like unless you are literally going through Parkinson's right now. And even then, I don't know, because you haven't been maybe in the public eye like he has and such. Like, anybody fighting Parkinson's is brave. Mm-hmm. What he is doing is just a step in it, not above, but heightened.
And beyond that, just through this Parkinson's thing, he is trying to break the stigma of these type of degenerative diseases and societal pressure to say, oh, we can't, you have to be look perfect all the time.
Right.
You can't have anything wrong with you. If you do, that's when you hide away. And he's saying, no, we all have things that we struggle with. Some are more obvious than others, but that doesn't mean that you're not worth something.
Oh,
and for him to break,
make you less of a person.
Exactly. Yep. And what you, James, did brought that to the forefront. We try to avert our eyes because we don't want to see the things that remind us of our own mortality. Mm-hmm. And this, having him have to live this out daily, is a reminder we are all mortal. Mm. Something's going to get us. And to be able to allow him to do it with dignity and to say, we need to let people be people no matter what they're dealing with. I give him props for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's also not fair that he still looks better than me. Like, I'm trying to. He's 61. He's dealing with part, and he still looks amazing. He's still. Keep going, Michael. Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep doing your thing. Side note: Christopher Lloyd and him have always been really close, and the last couple of years, they've been doing a lot of promotion stuff with each other to promote, talking about Parkinson's and bring awareness to it and everything. It's been really cool to see Doc and him together again.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that he's 61.
Awesome. Yeah.
61, and he told us he waited years to let this out, that he was struggling with this. He knew, and he was trying his best to work with it and through it. And God bless him to be 61 now.
Real quick note, a couple of other notes about entertainment. Willie Nelson's 90th birthday bash was held over the weekend at Hollywood Bowl in L.A. The two-night lineup of performers honored him with was epic, and several fan videos have been making the rounds. George Strait was there. He joined Willie for Pancho and Lefty.
Okay.
If you want to see that, it may be one of the last times we hear Willie do this live. George Strait, Willie Nelson doing Pancho and Lefty. If you want to do yourself a good, need a good smile today, listen to that song.
Mm-hmm.
I did it this morning, and man, I'm so glad I did. Oh, it sounds good. Those two sound good together. Snoop showed up at this. Neil Young was there. Basically, everybody but us. Like, everybody was there. Everybody. It's just a great event. And I just wanted to bring attention to that. And that song, if you get a chance to hear that, George Strait, nice job with that. Nicely done, sir. Did a really good job with that one.
Who would have thought Willie Nelson would make it to 90?
Right? Wow. Yeah, yeah. But more power to him.
Yeah.
Redheaded stranger, still doing his thing. We also wanted to talk about Hoozle's Rise to Music.
Yes, we do. It is coming up. It is that time of the year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Thursdays in June and July at 6 p.m. down at Hoozle's at the Lakes. You can check it out at their website, hoozlerisetomusic.com, or if their Facebook page, Hoozle Rise to Music. Like that. Get the updates. It is their second annual, yay, Rise to Music competition kicking off on Thursday, June 8th. The summer musicians will compete for the title of Rise to Music Champion 2023, getting a cash prize, radio airtime, and more. The competition is designed to provide musicians with a safe space to showcase their music, gain exposure in the industry, and rise up in their music careers. Registration is now live, so all genres are welcome, from country to rock, reggae, even acoustic. This year, musicians can look forward to additional exposure on Civic Media Radio Network with shows like Director's Cut, which we've heard a little bit about, and Max Inc. Radio. Musicians can register as a solo, duo, or trio, and there are no entry fees. You are expected, however, to be prepared to play a minimum of 15 minutes of performance time. You can perform covers of your or your own original material, and registration information is available at that website, hoozlesrisesmusic.com. The qualifier prize is a radio interview on WFHR, a performance at the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Ballpark here at Winterfield, and a $200 cash prize. And then our qualifiers will all compete, and the grand finale prize is a paid residency with Hoozles at the Lakes, studio recording time, radio interviews with the Civic Media Network, performance at the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Ballpark, cash prize, and the title of Rise to Music Champion 2023.
Yes.
All right. This is something fun to look forward to. Warmer weather's coming.
Thursdays.
Yep. Get that calendar marked.
Be sure to spread the word about this. A big shout out to, of course, our friends over at Hoozles at the Lakes. Be sure to visit them. It's a great spot. You want to find out more, go to hoozlesbar.com to see their menu. And just type in your search bar, Hoozles Rise Music, to find more information on how you can register in that. And, of course, a shout out to our own Steph Schmidt. Steph did such a great job with this one.
Phenomenal.
Nice work, Steph.
Great job, Steph.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with some good stories of the day and plenty more for you on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you to take you to the top of the hour. And then we'll have Playmakers. Of course, join us for Playmakers. Seth and I will be hanging out together and with all of you today for that show. Looking forward to doing it. Got a lot to talk about, but we want to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Playmakers is your show. Call up and join the conversation. 424-2600. We'll be going at it in just a little bit here. A shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Let's get to some local good stories of the day. And I'm going to start off with our friends over at Lincoln High School. They have their spring concerts coming up.
They've had
them going on. They've got another one coming up today. The district band in Fieldhouse at in the Fieldhouse at 6:30 today. They're going to be having a concert. Encourage you to check that out.
And that's from grade 6 up through 12.
That's going to be a good one. And Assumption Catholic Schools have a spring band concert coming up tomorrow. That'll be at 6:30 in the Assumption High School Gymnasium. It's free and open to the public.
All right.
Nice.
Be sure to check those out. We heard about this last week during Morning Magazine. There is a community substance use engagement event happening today from 5 to 6:30 over at Mid-State Auditorium at 532nd Street North in Wisconsin Rapids. Come learn about community substance prevention, Wood County Youth initiatives, Narcan and fentanyl test strips, support recovery. There's going to be free food provided by Starbucks, Politos, and more. Shout out to our own Wood County Health Department and Jacob Wagner for letting us know about this and the great work that they are doing in our community. Greatly appreciate our friends at the Wood County Health Department. For many, many, many years, they've been taking good care of this community. We greatly appreciate them. If you would like to know more about this event, you can give Jacob a call at 715-421-8907. That's 421-8907. Otherwise, you can email him, jacob.wagner@woodcountywi.gov, jacob.wagner@woodcountywi.gov. And we'll be talking more about this when Terry joins us this week. But our friends over at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties have open registration for Stuff the Desk going on.
All right.
Starts today.
Yes. Stuff the Desk, Stuff the School Bus Desk is a collaborative community initiative led by the United Way to ensure every student has the supplies they need to learn. All families with financial need and are eligible to receive free school supplies. To participate, parents or guardians must register between today and August 3rd. And how do you register? Well, you can go to uwswac.org and just click on the Stuff the Desk banner, or you can call 211 Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. School supplies will be distributed during the Stuff the Desk on August 18th and 19th over at East Junior High in Wisconsin Rapids. Registrations must select a pickup time. Each time slot is limited. So if you're going to register, you got to pick a time as well. Mm-hmm. And then registration must be submitted by August 3rd. Walk-ins will only be accepted on Saturday, August 19th from 10 to 10:30, while supplies last. You can find out more and register by going to uwswac.org.
Mm-hmm. So this is to be able to register to receive the things. And then over the summer, we'll be taking all of the collections for those people to actually have those supplies.
Years ago, a great-grandmother in England told her kids that if she made it to 90, she wanted to ride a Harley again.
Oh.
They remembered and made it happen for her 90th birthday last month.
Awesome.
She used to ride motorcycles when she was young, so they got some bikers to swing her around town and take her to a bar. She said the wind in her face made her feel 21 again.
That's great.
A 44-year-old in the UK named Lucy Humphrey recently got a new kidney thanks to her dog. She'd been waiting for a donor for 5 years. Then last year, she had to cancel a vacation for health reasons and took her dogs to the beach instead. One of them kept running up to a random woman named Katie James, who was sitting in a chair knitting. It turned out she had just signed up to be a kidney donor. The surgery happened in October, and they're both doing great.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. One more dog story.
Like the dog knew.
The dog knew. Yes, exactly. A golden retriever got adopted in Northern Ireland last month and then ran off and was missing for 26 days.
Oh, no.
But they eventually got him back after he walked more than 40 miles to his former owner's home.
Oh,
those always get me.
Yeah. It gets you, and it's a little sad, to think of this. It's also, man, how impressive dogs are and following that scent and being able to do something like that. Like, it's a good story now because we know the little guy got home and everything, but it just boggles the mind of how that's possible with weather, with all the different things that you think would change something like that, and they're still able to do those kind of things. That is just so darn cool. Good stories of the day throughout the whole show today. Again, a big shout out to Diane. Thank you for that. Thank you to everybody that's got us birthdays and anniversaries so we could celebrate them today. And of course, a gigantic thank you to our friend Bill Heck joining us with our monthly Veterans Update. Greatly appreciate that from Bill. He'll be with us again next month. Looking forward to that. And we got to say a big thank you to Chatterbox Catering.
Yes, we do.
Of course.
Big thank you to them. Appreciate them sponsoring the Kitchens Open. We'll have another one of those for you next Monday. You two have a great day. Thank you so much for a wonderful show.
Thanks. You too, James.
We'll be back with more, but stick around for Playmakers. It's coming up right around the corner here on WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.